Why, God? Why do innocent people suffer? Why do accidents happen? Why did I lose my job? Why, God? Why? Why? And I believe that we've all been there before. That at some point in our life, we've paused and we've looked at God and we've said, why? Why is this happening? Oh, we may not have used those exact words. And sometimes the questions may have came out more like anger or self-pity. And when life just keeps turning around and hitting us again and again, the questions begin to dissolve into cynicism. And we may become surly with others. My God. Why? The question is always there. If God is so loving and just and all-powerful, then why do such horrendous things happen? Why do innocent people suffer? Now, there are those who would insist that we have no right to so much as question God, much less protest about the things that come our way. They contend that God is in complete control of the universe and that everything in it is under God's control. Therefore, no matter how tragic the circumstances or the conditions under which we suffer, we do not have the right to question God because it is all part of God's major plan. Now, I have to be honest with you people. That theology just makes me mad. I admit to being extremely angry when I hear even a well-meaning Christian telling a grieving parent that somehow or the other this was all God's plan. And when a woman is in an abusive marriage, and she's told that she must stay there because God is testing her faith. And remember, God will never give you more than you can bear. We've all said that one before, haven't we? And sometimes it brings comfort and hope to us. But I've buried those women. And to tell them that God did not give them more than they could bear is a travesty to the faith. And when I hear those things being said to others, I have to wonder what kind of a monster we're worshiping. Does that sound harsh? Well, the number one reason that Christians give for not liking to read the Old Testament is because the God of the Old Testament is violent. The God of the Old Testament is vengeful. The God of the Old Testament will get you if you do something to cross him up. The plagues, the wars. And then there's those scriptures, those verses that say, and 100,000 people were killed that day and God was pleased. We don't like that God. And yet, when people are wounded and hurting, when planes crash and when earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes strike, when bombs explode and school shootings occur, what do we tell the victims and their families? It's all part of God's plan. A plan we shouldn't question. And then we wonder why people turn their backs on God and Christ and the church. Don't we? Well, Christians, argue with me if you want, and that's okay. But I think we've gotten it wrong for a long, long time. For you see, even Jesus questioned God. Remember what happened on the cross? Remember his words? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Doesn't sound like a prayer of thanksgiving to me. And in today's gospel lesson, well, he voices the question that everyone was thinking. A group of people come to him and say, Jesus, did you know that Pilate just sacrificed a group of Galileans and mix their blood with the Roman gods in worship to the Roman gods? I mean, these people were struggling. And Jesus answers with a question. He says, do you think that those Galileans were more sinful than the others who weren't killed? And then as he's thinking, he says, and what about the 18 that were killed when the tower fell? Do you assume that they were more sinful than everyone else in Jerusalem? The problem is that while he voiced the question, he never answered it. He goes off to something else about repentance. Did he answer it? You see, we just can't read a scripture in isolation. We need to read the story that's around it. And when you read the story that surrounds that incident, what you discover is that Jesus has just told the people what the cost of discipleship is going to be. He says, if you follow me, you better be prepared. Because things are going to happen that you're not going to like. And then he finds out about the innocent Galileans who have been killed. And he says, why do you assume that they were more sinful than anyone else? And he goes on to tell them about a fig tree, a parable about a fig tree. You know, the one that doesn't produce and the owner wants to cut it down. And the servant says, please, Lord, can we give it one more year? And right after that, do you know what Jesus does? He heals a woman who is crippled. Now, if there was any sinner who ever deserved what she got, it was her, because A, she was a woman, and B, she was crippled, which proved to everybody that she was a sinner, or her mother, or her father, or somebody. And after he heals the woman, do you know what Jesus does? He goes out on a high bluff over Jerusalem, and he looks out and he cries, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, what are you doing? You kill the prophets. And then he dies. Jesus answered the question. No, he didn't answer the question really, because there is no answer to the question why people suffer. But he gave us the answer that we need. He suffered with us. And he suffered for us. It is in Christ's suffering for us that we begin to understand the role plays in our suffering. In his book, Why God, Why, James Toole writes that, quote, while God is not the creator of suffering, God is the healer. God is not the creator of pain, but rather the one who hears our cries. God is not always slapping our hands, but lovingly offering to walk with us. Close quote. So why do good people suffer? There is no adequate answer, except that we live in a broken world. And in that brokenness, things just happen. And when they do, when the tragedy strikes, when the innocent suffer or even die, we know who is suffering and who is crying with us. The one who created us, the one who loves us,
the one who will love us forever. To God be the glory.